Judge Motoga, I am Judge Donald Horowitz from King County Superior Court, which is was a trial court, and I was a judge there, and I'll be conducting the second part of the interview. I'd like to talk a little bit about your experience previous to becoming a judge here, because you had a long career as a lawyer, and and I'm interested in the kind of work you did. Obviously, you did work in human rights, which you've told Justice Sutter about. But what's the nature of your practice, generally speaking?
My practice has a history. A history in the sense that it began as a one-man practice. On the 15th of February, 1972, which is when I resigned from my former law firm. I was formerly employed as a lawyer in a white practice called Hampton, Hudson & Matthews. And there were some differences, perhaps not really professional, but differences about remuneration and things like that. And so I decided to give in a resignation. And on the same day I resigned, I also set up a law office. It was called Muthoga Gatundu & Company Advocates. I was a sole practitioner. I had, initially I had no employee, then I got one employee. And then I was joined by a clerk who was working for my former employer, who also resigned and decided to work for me gratuitously, without payment. So for about 4 months, I had only two members of staff. One who was on the payroll and the other one who was working gratuitously, and myself. So that's the way the firm started. It is not a firm which was existed before that time. And after about 3 years, I was joined by another practitioner. And we merged the two firms and formed one law firm called Muthoga Gatundu & Company Advocates. And we were a general practitioner. We were practicing contract, civil law, criminal law, anything that we could find. And we had to do that because neither of us had what you call a prosperous family heritage or something that could enable us to choose our field of law. So we were doing whatever came. Eventually, we ended up by abandoning criminal practice, almost virtually abandoning criminal practice, or restricting it only to people who are otherwise our clients, or employees of companies that were our clients when they got in trouble, but very little off the street criminal work, and became a civil practitioners. And I think eventually now we're just doing transaction and work and corporate work. But we've done all this other work before.
And this firm that, of course, has grown, and some of the very first parts of your description of the firm remind me very much of my own history. When you are happy to have a client, and you say, "No, I'm glad they chose me," and so forth. But you also, apparently, I mean, from what we see of your resume and so forth, the firm, whether gratuitously or not, did other kinds of work, consulted in human rights areas and so forth and so on. And we call in the United States pro bono.
Pro bono, yes.
Yes.
As a rule, our practice rule was that 1/3 of our work shall always be pro bono, okay, unlike other law firms. And the reason was that our firm grew as a response against foreign law firms. Because at that time, our law firms in Kenya were either European-owned or Asian-owned. Mm-hmm. There were only two other black
African
law. Black African lawyers. Yeah. And very naturally, the greatest need of pro bono work is African. Right. And the European law firms and the Asian law firms did no pro bono work, or very little. Sometimes only the pop-up briefs, which they were doing it, using their younger lawyers for more for learning experience than for satisfying that client. And there was no legal aid in the country, either civil or criminal. So when I started off, both my partner and I were committed to some pro bono work. So we kind of decided that there is a client, there is a segment of clients who cannot pay for their work. We will do it to the extent that is possible, so that our firm does not just appear like the firm for the rich and has no. So we carried out pro bono work. Then I personally got myself involved in a lot of child rights work, a lot of it which was really for pro bono. And I had to do it because I liked doing it and because I had a Christian commitment to doing work for God and so forth. So, yes, we spent about one third of our work on pro bono all the time. That has changed over time. My present partners are less generous in that way than I am. Well, they started differently now. They don't have to do it now. Yeah. And they have the capacity to choose a lot of their work, which I didn't have at the time. But they still also do some fair amount of pro bono work, but not as much as we did at the time. Or put it this way, the work of the firm has grown bigger now that the pro bono work has become much less than it used to be.
It sounds to me like there's a biblical saying, which I'm sure you know, cast thy bread upon the waters and it shall be returned sevenfold. The work that you did pro bono has contributed to your success and the success of your firm. And hopefully, perhaps the newer members of your firm will be reminded of that at some point. I understand that personally very well, and I applaud your work, both in terms of pro bono and in establishing, so importantly, an African presence in the bar. Without which it would mean very little, the bar would mean very little in these countries. And I'm telling you what you already know, and I apologize for saying the truth that you already know.